Well, we've been doing a series of messages with you that we are calling Who Are You, Lord? And we've been on a bit of a journey to know God at a deeper level, to know Him more intimately. And so we've been asking this question, Who Are You, Lord? And to help us answer that question, we've been doing a study on eight names of God where He reveals Himself to us in the Old Testament. So far, we've looked at Jehovah Jireh, and we've seen that God is our provider. Then we looked at Jehovah Sabaoth and saw God as our warrior. Last week, my dad preached a great message to us on Jehovah Shalom, and we saw God as our peace. Today, I want to talk to you about Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord our shepherd, the Lord our great shepherd. And I want to spend all of our time today in Psalm 23. Of course, this is a famous psalm, whether you are a churchgoer or a non-churchgoer. You've heard of this psalm. Many people quote it in times of stress or when they're under pressure. But I think many times we quote the psalm without even actually understanding just the depth that is contained within it. And so as we discuss this whole idea of God being our shepherd, we're going to spend all our time in this wonderful psalm. It was written by King David, who of course was a shepherd boy long before he became king. And David seems to have been an amazing shepherd with a great love for his sheep. We see this illustrated in him recounting to King Saul about how he had defended his sheep against both a lion and against a bear. And so there just seems to have been this real great love that David had for his sheep. And as he's looking at his own life and thinking back to those times of how he had led his sheep and tended for them and cared for them, he begins to look at God and see that God has been a shepherd to him, this great shepherd who has cared for him and tended for him and provided for him. And so as he's thinking about that, he writes this beautiful psalm that illustrates God as our shepherd. Of course, David had an amazing relationship with God. He was known as the man after God's own heart, and he understood who God was. He was the one running against Goliath, where we looked at a few weeks ago, that saw God as this amazing warrior, Jehovah Sabaoth. But in this psalm, David reflects a different side of God. He reflects more on the shepherd's heart, on the caring, compassionate, tender heart of God. He reveals God's heart in another way for us with just such beautiful imagery. And we see God's compassion and we see Him in a more intimate way. And David begins the psalm in verse 1 by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I have all that I need." And I want you to notice the little word "is" that David writes here. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's not saying He has been a shepherd to me. He was my shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's acknowledging that God is continually taking responsibility for His life. I love how the scripture says that our God is a present help in times of trouble. David also refers to Him as my shepherd. He doesn't say God is our shepherd. He says He's my shepherd. And David is showing us here that our God is a personal God. He's concerned with each individual. He's not just concerned with the group. He's concerned with the individuals within the group. In another psalm, in Psalm 139, David is talking about how intimately God is connected to each of us. And he says that God is familiar with all our ways, that He knows a word that we're going to speak before we even speak it. There's nowhere we can go where God isn't there. And so because of this, David says, "I have all that I need." You know, there are some times when we feel alone. There are some times when we feel that we are unseen. But you need to know today that God is a personal shepherd. Jesus said that His sheep, that He calls His sheep by name. He knows us intimately. He's a right now God. And because of that, David says, "I have all I need. He has me comprehensively covered." In the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 2, Jeremiah the prophet is prophesying judgment against the leaders of Israel. And this is what he says. He's challenging them that as leaders, they had failed to shepherd the people of Israel properly. In verse 2 of chapter 23, he says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to these shepherds. Instead of caring for my flock and leading them to safety, you have deserted them and driven them to destruction. Now I will pour out my judgment on you for the evil that you have done to them. But I will gather together the remnant of my flock from the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their own sheepfold, and they will be fruitful and increase in number. Then I will appoint responsible shepherds who will care for them, and they will never be afraid again. Not a single one will be lost or missing. I, the Lord, have spoken." Ezekiel had the same message of rebuke against Israel's shepherds. He said in chapter 34, "You drink the milk, you wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flock starve. You've not taken care of the weak. You've not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You've not gone looking for those who've wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty." And so we can see from these scriptures what God expects a good shepherd to do. But the rebuke was that the leaders of the nation of Israel had failed to be this kind of shepherd. But as you continue to read on in Jeremiah, he begins to prophesy that there was going to be a great shepherd who was going to come. And he was talking about Jesus, and he's talking about how he was going to be a different kind of shepherd and a different kind of leader. Jesus would say this about himself in John chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." If you're looking for a good shepherd for your life, the proof of a good shepherd is that he is willing to lay down his life for you. And this is exactly what Jesus did for us. And so because Jesus laid down his life for us, we know that he's the good shepherd, and we know that we can trust him. He's proven what kind of shepherd he is. But before you can begin to see Jesus as your shepherd, you must first begin to see yourself as a sheep. Because if you don't see yourself as a sheep, you won't be able to experience everything that your shepherd has for you. Now, here's what you need to know about sheep. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb animals. If a sheep is walking in a circle and another sheep follows him, soon there'll be other sheep following those that are following the lead sheep, and they'll all be walking in circles thinking they're going somewhere, not realizing they're not going anywhere at all. You don't see sheep in the circus too often because sheep aren't easily trained. They don't have what it takes to be trained. They have a horrible sense of direction. Sheep are prone to wander off. It's why Isaiah likens us to sheep when he says, "All of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own." Sheep are also defenseless. They're easy prey for predators because they have no way to defend themselves. Many of us think we're strong until the devil comes after us, and then we quickly crumble and we realize we're not as strong as we thought we were. Sheep are also dirty. They have these thick coats that collect debris and dust, and these coats hold in the sweat. But there's something about sheep. They don't have the ability to clean themselves either. You see, sheep are totally dependent animals. They have to be led by the shepherd in order to get anywhere at all. As I said, they don't even know where to go or when it's time to go. And we need to begin to see ourselves in this description. Yes, your pastor just called you dumb this morning. But we need to see ourselves in this description, because if we don't see how helpless we are, if we don't see how dependent we are, we won't see that we need a great shepherd. Without the shepherd, we're lost. Without the shepherd, we're directionless. Without the shepherd, we're defenseless and we're dirty. And so when David says that we have this great shepherd who meets all our needs, we need to see that he is referring to an awful lot of needs. I love this quote in John 10:10. It seems like about every third message I quote it. And it says this, Jesus is talking, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I've quoted this verse many times and many of us are familiar with it, but do you realize that the context that Jesus is sharing this verse to us is in John 10 where he's describing himself as the good shepherd. David says, with God as his shepherd, I shall not want. And Jesus says that as the good shepherd, I have come to give you life and to give it to you to the full, an abundant life. It's the same message. You see, when God is your shepherd, you are covered. All your needs. And so David begins to spend the rest of this psalm describing how this shepherd indeed meets all our needs. And he talks about five specific needs. And I want to share those with you this morning. The first thing David does is he begins looking at our spiritual needs. Psalm chapter 23, verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. How many of you that are watching this morning could say, I need a refreshing in my soul? I think we've all had those times in our life where we just feel flat spiritually. We have those times in life when it seems like the air is sucked right out of us. Those times when it seems like we've just lost our fire, when we've just lost our passion. Those times when we feel drained, when we feel burned out. My experience is that sometimes these are seasons of life where it just seems like we're in a season of lethargy. We're in a season of dryness. We're in a season where we just lack passion. Other times I would say that I feel like there are moments even within the day where I just, in these moments, we hear something that just drains us. Or we have days within the week where we feel drained, like we feel like our mind is racing, like we feel like we've lost our capacity to cope, to just deal with the situations that we're facing. In those moments, we need to realize we have a great shepherd, and his name is Jehovah Rohi. And we need him. And David describes for us here how this great shepherd in these times of dryness is the one who restores our soul. But the first thing that he does is he mentions how he does it. And he says he makes us lie down in green pastures. Notice he doesn't say that the shepherd suggests to us that we should lie down in green pastures. It says he makes us. And we need to remember, we're dumb. We're dumb sheep. And often we don't know what we need, and we're stubborn, and we're independent, and we try and do things in our own strength, and we try and figure everything out. And so what God does is sometimes he puts us in these situations where we have no other option but to lean on him completely, because we discover we can't do it without him. I remember when my girls were young and they used to have to take naps during the day. They could be rubbing their eyes because they were so tired. They could be absolutely grumpy and crying at every little thing. But if you suggested it was time for a nap, they resisted you. But we didn't just say, we think you should take a nap right now. No, we said, you need to take a nap. And we would pick up those girls of ours and we would walk them into their bedroom sometimes and put them in their crib or put them in their bed. We would make them lie down. We didn't do it because we were mean parents. We did it because we were loving parents. We did it because we realized that if our kids would get a little bit of rest, if they would lie down, that they would be recharged and better able to take on the rest of the day. We knew it was best for them. And this is the place that God wants to bring each of us to. He wants us to come to the place where we stop resisting, where we stop rebelling, where we let go of our self-sufficiency and we learn to lean on him and rest in him. And sometimes I wonder if God doesn't change some of the situations in our life because he's waiting for us to come to that place where we will quit resisting and go and lie down, where we will declare our total trust, where we will declare our dependence upon Him. You see, that is a place of surrender. Without surrender, you won't experience the restoration of the pasture. And David continues by saying, He leads me beside still waters. You see, sheep won't drink from running water. Sheep are scared of it. The sheep are aware that they're not sure-footed. They're aware that they have that ability to slip and to fall if they wander into the running water. And so they would be spending all their time just trying to stay upright rather than drinking. Many would lose their balance and fall, and actually their thick coats become a danger to them because it absorbs the water and it pulls them under. Sheep need to drink from still water. Well, when we rest in our shepherd, our great shepherd leads us to those environments that we can handle. He leads us to those places where we can be safely restored, where we can safely be refreshed. He knows what you need. He knows where to take you to find it. But that blessing of rest and those still waters are not found in the place of self-sufficiency. You see, if you think you can fix your problems yourself, or if you wander off on your own path, I want to tell you this morning, you're in trouble. Many people think they know what they need better than what God does. They think they know where they should be drinking. But often what happens is that in that place of self-sufficiency, they find themselves drowning. They find themselves in need. But it actually can become one of the best places that we can be in, because in those times, we learn that we need God. In that place, we can learn to rest in God. You see, if God doesn't restore your soul's not getting restored. But as we surrender to Him, as we choose to rest in Him, as we choose to lay down, we will find in that place that He will fill us with hope, that He will fill us again with purpose. We will discover the abundant life that He wants to give us. It's only when we depend on Him that we find the safety and the restoration of the green pasture. I believe that knowing this truth and then applying it to our thoughts and actions will do more for restoring our souls than anything else. David continues by talking about our needs for direction. He says in Psalm 23, verse 3, He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. I don't know about you, but I think one of the greatest inventions over the last 20 years has been the invention of the GPS navigational system. Do you remember those days where we used to try and get someplace by reading a map? You know, different times. Last summer I was in Chicago. My daughter was playing in a basketball tournament, and our hotel was about 20 minutes from this tournament, and so we'd have to get there through Chicago. And I remember one time just saying to my wife, can you remember the days when we used to do this by a map? How did we do this? Well, I want to tell you that not having a GPS system and trying to read a map almost cost me my marriage before it even got started. On my honeymoon, Ange and I were in Orlando. We had flown from Regina, and I don't have time to tell you all the details, but we had a mix-up with the rental car company, and we spent hours in that place. My credit card was declined, and we didn't know how we were going to pay for the rental car. It's a whole story. And so I was exasperated, and we just wanted to get to our hotel, and so we had to follow the map. And we started on the way there, and Ange and I are she's trying to help me, and I probably didn't listen to her very well, and she thought we should go one direction. I thought we should go another. And so because I was driving, we went in the way that I thought we should go. I think as we were heading there, Angela was suggesting that maybe we should pull over and just ask somebody if we were going in the right direction. But I'm a man. We don't stop and ask for directions. And so I thought I could see where the map was taking us, and we kept going, and Angie's making comments. I don't know if this is the right way. And about an hour later, we're almost at Cape Canaveral before I clued in. I don't think we're going in the right direction. And so I turned around, and Angela probably made some comment about, you should have listened to me. I don't remember exactly what it was. What I do remember is that I exploded on her in the car. Less than 24 hours after being married, we had a wonderful first marriage moment. If we had had a GPS, it all would have been different. Now, we need to understand something here. Every one of us has a GPS in our cars or on our phones these days. And those GPSs use satellites that can view the entire world and tell us where almost anything is located. But it stands to reason that if God created the world and He created you and me, and if He can see everything all at once, and He has a plan for our lives, that He knows where we are and He knows how to get us where we need to go better than anyone and anything else. And David writes here that Jehovah Rohi guides me along right paths for His name's sake. In other words, David is saying we have our own personal GPS, and it's Jehovah Rohi. Now, if you have a nice GPS in your home, or if you have a nice GPS on your phone or in your car, and you're not with me, that's not going to help me in my car or help me where I'm going. I need my own GPS. Remember, David said, He is my shepherd. You see, we all have to have our own personal relationship with God. We all have our own path that we are to walk in this life. And no two paths are the same. We don't all start in the same place. We're not all going to the same place. God has a unique destiny for each of us. And so we need our own GPS system. And we have it. It's Jehovah Rohi. You see, if a shepherd doesn't guide his sheep, they'll wander off. They'll take a wrong route if left to their own devices. And like my Orlando story, we can look back on our lives and we can see those times when going our own way got us in trouble. But we need to realize that we have this great shepherd who wants to save us from this pain. And if we will follow Him, if we will seek Him, if we will listen to His voice, He will keep us from the pain of wandering off. And many of us have experienced that pain from going our own way. But I want to say this to you this morning. If you are in the middle of the pain of your own, of going your own way, of choosing your own route because of your stubbornness, because He is such a good shepherd, even when we wander off, even when we don't follow Him and go our own way, He still comes looking for us. He still can find us in those places. Jesus said in Matthew 28, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that didn't wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. I love the imagery in this verse. It's telling us that God is so in love with us, that He so desires to see us prosper, that He so desires to see us find this abundant life that He has for us, that He's not willing that any of us should perish, that we would all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so He comes looking for us, even when we wander off. When we're on the wrong path, He can get us back on the right one. You know, there's something about that GPS. If you ignore it and try going your own way, very quickly you'll hear these words, recalculating, recalculating. You see, no matter where you have gone, and I love this, no matter where you have gone, a GPS can find you and it can get you back onto the right path. And God is the same way. Jehovah Rohi is the same way. No matter how far you wander away, no matter how much you've been stubborn and you've experienced the pain of going your own way, Jehovah Rohi will come find you, and He has the ability to get you back on the right path. There's no place that God can't bring you back from. You can't wander so far that God can't find you. He sees you. He knows where you are, and He can get you to where you need to go. And He does it for the glory of His name, for His name's sake. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is this verse in Proverbs where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take." He is Jehovah Rohi. He knows how to get you where you need to go. The third need that David talks about is our emotional needs. He says in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Well, of course, we know that a valley is a low place between two mountains. It's a low place. And we all love those mountaintop experiences in life, and we all wish we could just go from one mountaintop experience to the next mountaintop experience. But that's not the way life works. In between the mountaintops are the valleys. In between the mountaintops are the low places, the dark places of our life. That's the way life works. And in order to get from one mountaintop to the other, we have to go through the valley or the low place in between. But if you're in a low place in your life this morning, I have good news for you. A valley means that there is just another mountain that's waiting for you. If you're in the valley, it just means there's a mountain up ahead. But notice what David says. You have to go through the valley to get there. David said, "When I walk through the valley." He didn't say, "When I sit down and whine and complain in the valley." He said, "When I walk through it." And David describes this valley as being dark. He describes this valley as being full of shadows. And the imagery that's being portrayed to us here is that of entering a ravine where the mountains are casting shadows and you can't see where you're going or you can't see what is around the corner. And of course, it's in those shadows that the predators lurk. We don't know what's hiding in those places. We don't know what's going to come out. And sometimes in the valley, you can't see the sun, especially when it's going down and it's hidden by the mountains. And I think you would all agree that we've all had those times in our life where we've been in those dark places, where we've been in those low places. And sometimes it feels like we have no idea where to go, or sometimes it feels like we have no idea how we're going to get out of them. And in those places, fear becomes paralyzing. In those places, worry and doubt become all-consuming. In those places, our emotions just become a tangled mess. There are times when we feel like we can't see the sun. S-O-N. Times where we wonder, where is God? Where did He go? Did you leave me, God? Did you abandon me? How do we get through those times? We get through those valley times by realizing what David says, that whether I can see him or not, our shepherd is right beside me. David said, "Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid because you are close beside me." You see, he's not just the God of the mountaintops where we can sense his presence and where we can see his goodness for miles. He's also the God of the valleys. He's the God who walks beside us in the times of darkness. He's the God who walks beside us in the low places of our life. He's the God, the great shepherd, who never leaves us, who never forsakes us. And so the only way to go through the valley is to focus on the shepherd as you're walking through it. And you don't need to be afraid of where you're going. You don't need to be afraid of what you can't see because of what your shepherd is carrying in his hands. David said this, "Your rod and your staff comfort and protect me." You see, a shepherd carried both a rod and a staff in his hands. The rod was like a club. A cloud that the shepherd would use against his enemies, against the predators that would come, against the sheep. He would use the rod to beat them off. But the staff was different. It was a long pole that had a hook on the end of it. And the purpose of the staff was that the shepherd would use it to reach down when the sheep had wandered off, when the sheep had got himself in a thicket or fallen off the path. That long staff could reach down and hook around the sheep, and the shepherd would use it to pull him to safety. You see, the club or the rod represents power. It represents authority. But the staff represents grace. Church, even in the darkest times, even in those times when the enemy seems to be at our door, even in those times where darkness has caused us to get tangled, we need to remember that we have a shepherd who walks right beside us, and in his hands are his power and his grace. Power and grace. There is no weapon that is formed against us that can prosper, because our God carries a club. He has all power. He has all authority, and he can stand against that which comes against you. And in those times when in our stubbornness and in our foolishness or in our confusion, we've wandered away from the path, in his hand is grace and mercy, and his grace can find you, and his grace can reach you, and his grace can pull you out of the deepest and darkest place. He's a great shepherd. He walks beside you in power and in grace. Listen to me. No matter how bad things appear in the valley, no matter how dark life is for you right now, I want to encourage you this morning, don't quit. Walk through the valley. You can make it through, because God is with you and he's walking beside you. Keep your eyes on him. You need to remember this morning that your valley is just a mountain waiting to happen. Whatever your emotional need is, if you'll keep your eye on the shepherd, you'll be okay. He's got you covered. The fourth thing that David refers to, the fourth need, is our physical need. Psalm 23, verse 5, David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Well, a shepherd in these times would be wearing a belt around his waist. And tucked in the belt would be a little cloth. And in times when a sheep would go wandering off and be lost, and the shepherd would go looking to find the sheep, when he found the sheep and had rescued him, he would take this little cloth off of his belt, and he would lay that cloth on the ground. And then he would reach into his shepherd's bag or that pouch. That was the pouch where David had placed the 5 smooth stones when he went against Goliath. But the shepherd would have in his pouch some grass and some fodder. And after rescuing that sheep, he would lay that little cloth on the ground, and he would put that fodder on the cloth. And there the sheep would eat, and the predators could be around, but they couldn't come near the sheep because the shepherd had the sheep covered. They were going hungry while the sheep was feeding. And we have different enemies that come against us in the whole area of our provision. We have enemies like recessions, like COVID-19, like job loss, etc. But even in those places, we need to realize that there is provision, because we have a shepherd who knows how to take care of his own. And I know that there are many who are watching this morning who could testify, if I was to ask you today, to testify how even in times of trouble that God showed up and God made a way for you even when there was no way. Of course, our testimony as a church is that at one point in our history, we were on the verge of bankruptcy. We were $2 million in debt, and our enemy was at the door. He was ready to devour us. But then God showed up, and he prepared a table for us right in the presence of our enemies. And he made a way where there was no way, because he's a good shepherd. You see, our God can prepare a table for us even in the most adverse of situations. And David understood something. David understood that Jehovah Rohi was his source. Church, you need to understand something this morning. We only have one source, and his name is Jehovah Rohi. Yes, there are many channels that God uses. Yes, there are many resources that God may use. But I want to challenge you this morning. Don't ever mistake a resource for your source. There's only one source. And it's Jehovah Rohi, your great shepherd. You see, when one resource shuts down, we have these times when a resource shuts down where we think, oh no, what am I going to do? But we need to remember our resource is not our source. Your source didn't shut down, just the resource. God will use another way. He has the ability to make a way, to provide for you, even in the presence of your enemies. David goes on to say, he anoints my head with oil. Why would he say this? Well, he says it because sometimes those sheep would go looking for berries or get distracted by the berries. They would look so good, and a sheep would plunge his head into a thicket and without realizing it, stick his head into some thorns, and his head would be pulled out as the shepherd would rescue him, and it would be bleeding. And so the shepherd would pour out the oil on his head, massage that head with the oil, and take away the pain. He cares for our physical needs. David goes on to say that my cup runs over. You see, the shepherd also would have a cup often carried in that bag. And when he would rescue the sheep, he would run to the stream and dip that cup in the water. And as he's coming back to the sheep, the water would be slopping over the sides of the cup. And the sheep would see the water slopping over the sides. And he knew in those moments that his shepherd had more than enough to satisfy him. You see, Jehovah Rohi can not only meet your need, he can give you more than enough to satisfy. He's a good shepherd. The fifth and final point this morning, David talks about our eternal needs. Psalm 23, verse 6, he ends this beautiful psalm by declaring, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The first word that David used here is powerful. He didn't say hopefully. He didn't say maybe, possibly. He said surely. He said that surely there are two sheepdogs that have you covered. You say sheepdogs? Yes. I think he's talking about sheepdogs. One named goodness and one named mercy. Because if you understand sheep farming, you know that the sheep would lead, or the shepherd would lead the sheep, and in behind the shepherd would come the sheepdogs, nipping at the heels of the sheep to keep them on course, knowing that those sheep would be foolish to not follow the shepherd. And so those sheep would be nipping at the heels whenever they saw the sheep wandering off course. And David says to us, we have two sheepdogs that are following us, the goodness and the mercy of God. And when we begin to wander off the path and when we begin to go our own way, God in his great mercy and God in his goodness nips at our heels and he barks at us and he does everything in his power to get us back onto the right path. I've heard it God referred to before as the hound of heaven, who never gives up on us, who never stops pursuing us. And David says, surely his goodness and his mercy are going to find me all the days of my life. God's goodness and mercy are always going to be nipping at my heels, always pointing me to the path. And beyond this life, God's goodness and his mercy will be there in eternity. If the Lord is my shepherd, I have eternal security. And so we see here that Jehovah Rohi covers my spiritual needs. He covers my directional needs. He covers my emotional needs. He covers my physical needs. He covers my eternal needs. I ask you this question. Is there any need you have in life that can't be satisfied in one of these five categories? It doesn't fall into one of these five categories. All of our needs fall in those places.
It's why David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have all that I need. And so that leaves us with a final question this morning. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? I didn't ask you, is the Lord your Savior? Although certainly you need a Savior. But you can have a Savior without a shepherd. You see, his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. If you're not following him, he's not your shepherd. And you won't get the benefit of his presence here on earth. And many of us know him as a Savior. We trust him for salvation, but we don't trust him as the shepherd. We don't lean on him as the shepherd. And I want to challenge you this morning. You need a shepherd. You need to lean on the shepherd. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's the first step in making him the shepherd of your life. If you don't have that eternal security, then I want to give you an opportunity this morning to receive Jesus as your Savior so that you can make him your shepherd. The good news of the gospel is that when we were lost, when we were like a sheep that had wandered away because of our own sin, that God sent his Son to come find us, to come rescue us. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, that all our sins were laid upon him. And he took all our punishment and he took on all our shame when we were dirty in our sin and had no way to clean ourselves. Jesus' blood cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. And the Bible says that if we will place our faith and trust in what Jesus did and are willing to confess him as the Lord of our life, that he will become our Savior, that he will wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us children of the living God. And so I want to give you that opportunity this morning. I'm just going to pray a prayer of salvation. And I invite you, wherever you're watching, in your homes and your couch and in your kitchen, pray this prayer with me and say, Jesus, I need a Savior. Wash me, cleanse me. And God will see you. He will see what's in your heart. And he will come and fill you with his Holy Spirit and make you one of his children. Let's pray together. Jesus, I come before you today and I realize, like sheep, like a sheep that's wandered off, I have chosen my own path. I've gone my own direction. I thought I knew better. I thought I knew what was best for my life. But I recognize today that I'm lost without you. I recognize that I'm dirty without you. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need to be cleansed. I need to be clean. But I thank you, Jesus, that when there was no way for me to be clean, you came and you died on the cross for me, and I recognize that your blood has cleansed me from all my sin. And so today, Lord Jesus, I receive your grace and I receive your mercy. And I invite the washing of your blood to wash away all my sin. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Today I choose to make you the Lord of my life. Today, Lord Jesus, I choose to make you my shepherd. I'm going to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I hope that's encouraged you this morning, church. Remember, God's got you covered. There's no area of your life, there's no need that you have that can't be met with anybody else other than Jehovah Rohi. He can meet your need. Will you call out to him today? Will you follow him?